Show Me the Way, episode 42, The Franchising Entrepreneur. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be excited about this. You have a unique opportunity here to visit with someone who has gone from the depths, the absolute bottom of the valley, to climb to the top of Mount Everest. And he's still climbing. I don't know what the next mountain's name is, taller than Everest, but he's doing it right now. The guy's name is Travis Barnes, and he's done almost the impossible by starting from a FEMA trailer to grow his business to into a franchise that is well-renowned in the fitness industry. You're going to love this guy. Wait until the very end, get all the way through. He's got some special messages at the end and tips. This is going to be really inspiring, and he's going to have an aha moment for you. So please stay tuned. Welcome to Show Me the Way, a podcast presented by Spencer Payne, LLP, about business succession planning, business continuity planning, the merger and acquisition experience, and successful exits. I'm your host, Dave Sider. Joining me, kids, on today's show is Travis Barnes. Good dude. Travis is the owner of Journey 333 and the originator of the fitness franchise we're going to be talking about today. To tell you that that's all he does is a very, very limited look at Travis, who he is and what he does, because he's a motivational speaker. He's an author. He's a podcaster, an all-around life enthusiast. And the latter is my contribution to his moniker. I want to delve into his business model with an emphasis on the franchise system. Travis, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
I appreciate you saying that because I want to start with the beginnings of your life. Where were you born?
I was born in a little town called Sarah, Pennsylvania. One that if you are driving towards Sarah, don't blink because you might miss it.
So you were raised in that area of the country, or did you move around?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Sarah. And it was actually when I graduated high school that I moved out west. I had some family out west, and I knew that most of the things that I've ever learned about with regards to fitness were happening on the West Coast. So I did move out west just shortly after high school.
And after high school, did you start your own business right away? Did you go to work for somebody else? What did that look like?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. You know, my whole life, I'd been passionate about fitness. I was a kid that was growing up in a broken home, and I discovered fitness early on is almost like a form of therapy, right? I was looking at these WWF wrestlers. I saw Rocky on TV. And I remember I was a young kid, probably between the ages of 5 and 8, let's just say. And I got a Hulkamania workout set. And I was like, come on, you little Hulkamaniacs, right? I learned something then, though, that would stick with me the rest of my life and would really impact the way that I dealt with other people. And it was that being fit on the outside helped me feel better on the inside. So fitness was part of my life from a young age. And I was always watching things like Pumping Iron and that kind of thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger, learning about guys out in California doing their thing, dreaming of going there someday, saying, I'm going to be one of them. So I had a mother and brother living in Las Vegas, Nevada. And the thing that I knew about Las Vegas, Nevada is that it was a heck of a lot closer to Venice, California than Sarah. When I graduated high school, I said, I'm going to Las Vegas. And I had been out there a few times already. And I visited the Gold's Gym out there. And I saw some of the professional bodybuilders training there. And I said, I'm going to go back to that gym and I'm going to see if I can get a job. And I got my first job in fitness shortly after graduating high school in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Gold's Gym. And that began my fitness career. And I'd like to tell you that, you know, I just ascended straight from trainer to entrepreneur and, you know, everything was rosy and sweet. However, that's not how it went. The truth is that first exposure to fitness, working in the Gold's Gym, it was a bit more unhealthy than healthy. There was quite a lifestyle going on there that many people are unaware of. And I was a young and impressionable kid from a small town, and I got sucked in, really. I wound up getting caught up in that drug and that 24-hour lifestyle. And I had a wayward journey for quite a period of time. It took me away from that job at the Gold's Gym. It took me away from being healthy. I got caught up in addiction. And that drug addiction, actually, we'll just say it, here it is for the Show Me the Way jaw dropper show. It cost me almost a decade of my life. And I'm not just talking about because of addiction. I'm talking about a non-violent drug offense that took me to prison. And so, yeah, it was not from high school graduation to entrepreneur. It was from high school graduation to first fitness job to drug addiction to prison. And me saying, how the heck did I get here? You know, what happened to that kid that, you know, was so excited?
Yeah, good guy. Yeah.
You know, and then began a period of rediscovery, right? That was where my time was there.
But this is what is so remarkable and wonderful about you, to go from the depths to the height. That's what being, I think, living the life and being an entrepreneur is all about. Because, you're going to be climbing a mountain. Some mountains are a little bit higher than others because you start out, you know, kind of down in more of a valley than you want to. You know, some people are fortunate. They get to start halfway up the mountain, but everybody's got to climb the mountain.
Yeah.
And you have some great lessons. So tell me, you're out of prison. How did you go forward? What was the drivers to get you to the point that you're at today?
Yeah, you know, Dave, I like what you're saying, because the depth of your struggle will determine the height of your success. And I do feel that my time in prison prepared me for the determination that I was going to need upon release. You know, I did get back in touch with those healthy habits. I helped people. I trained them for prison currency, which was tunas and stamps. And then I came home. And how it works when you come home is you go to a halfway house. And then if you can eventually get a job in your home area, then you can move there. And so I got a job in this physical therapy company that also had fitness. And lucky for me, they didn't have systems.
Yeah.
Lucky for me, they had a very absentee manager. And so I saw the writing on the wall. I said, wow, this guy that's my manager that's not coming to work, he's not going to be here long. And this place is kind of chaotic. You know, nobody does anything the same way around here. And I was kind of standing out because of just the way that I was performing. And I felt like I could, you know, set an example with my work ethic and also set an example with some other processes. And so I was getting recognized by the owner. And what ended up happening, that writing that I saw on the wall, well, it wasn't long. It wasn't long. And he said, Travis, I'm aware that you are doing everything that my manager is supposed to be doing. And I was, and he's not coming to work. You know, how would you like to be the manager? And, you know, it didn't take me long coming from where I was coming from to say yes to that. I saw the advancement. And what wound up happening is this guy invested in me. He was a Christian gentleman that wasn't judging me by my past. He was judging me by who I was then. And he was giving me books like Michael Gerber, The E-Myth, and me and Masterminds and things such as that. And so we began systemizing his business. We started putting fitness locations with his chain of physical therapy clinics. And that really opened me up to what it takes to duplicate a business model. It really opened me up to say, oh, okay. You know, if we can get everybody on the same page for these different processes and procedures, we don't have to be there. You know, systems can run the business, right? The people can run the systems. And that is the mindset that helped me when eventually that chapter closed. He had a vision of his company without me. Sometimes people say I got fired, right? You know, I worked for my own promotion to go from trainer to manager all the way up to chief operations officer. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, the higher you go, sometimes eventually, you know, there's other thoughts about the way the company's heading.
There's only one boss. You can climb all the way up, but there's only one boss.
That's the truth. That's the truth. And so without going any further into detail about that, what we see sometimes is an adversity in our life becomes an advantage. You know, sometimes what seems to be a curse becomes a blessing, because while I let go at a time that I wasn't expecting it, it opened a door for me to start my own business.
That's fantastic. And when did you start your business?
You know, for those of your listeners that may have a little bit of faith or at least just an interest in things that are serendipitous, I'll tell you this. I'm let go, and my wife and I had recently been displaced into a FEMA trailer because our home had been flooded to the second floor.
Yes.
And so I said to my wife, I'm like, you know, what do you want me to do? There was a there was a gas boom in our area, and I was worried that she was going to tell me that she didn't want me to do fitness anymore because I just got fired from it. Like, maybe she wanted me to go work in the gas industry or something. And she knew that for me to do anything else, it would be spiritual suicide, right? That I was really living my passion and purpose. And so here we are, traveling trainers on an unemployment check, living in a FEMA trailer. And there's a lady that goes to church with my father that's suggesting that we should come and see her commercial space. And so this is where that whole, do you have faith or, you know, are you interested in this kind of thing? Because we said, okay, we'll go check out her commercial space, but we don't have any resources. It was just kind of like a day at church with dad. And then we'll go see her space, tell her that we're on an unemployment check. You won't want anything to do with this, right? You know?
Yeah.
So we tour through her space. And by the way, this was an amazing type of salon adjoining an empty commercial space, because the salon was very overtly Christian, right? She had Christian sayings on the wall. She's playing Christian music. You know, we're going through this tour. I felt like, I didn't know if I was in a church service or a tour of commercial real estate. And so we get to the end and I just told her, like, I had rehearsed, ma'am, you have a very nice space, but you know, we don't really have any resources right now. So why don't we reach out to you if someday we do? And she said, well, I don't care about any of that. All I know is you don't care about the fact you don't have money. You know, she says, all I know is God told me that you're supposed to be here.
Oh, wow.
And so my wife and I are looking at each other. You know, we go outside and talk. I said, what do you think about that? I said, this lady thinks that God's talking to her about us. And she says, well, I think that we're starting a fitness business. And so it began, you know, so it began. It's like, and so that was the opportunity to begin something in a very small bit of square footage with a high interest loan for equipment, minimal investment. We, back then, we did some newspaper advertising that we could get on credit. We started out with 14 clients and we grew to a flourishing 400 in just about a year. So it was a fast paced growth. And then we grew to 5 locations in less than 4 years. So, I mean, that was something as well that we were
good for you.
We were on fire and we were using that. You know, it's an interesting thing, and I'm not going to turn your show into, you know, some sort of religious show, but I felt like I had been qualified for this moment. You know, like everything that I had done prior, you know, the way that I had gotten the job and systemized for somebody else. And then I thought, oh no, what am I going to do now that I'm let go? You know, this is so devastating. Had only prepared me for what I was about to do, which was to open up multiple locations for myself that eventually became a franchise.
That is fantastic. And right now, how many locations do you have? What does it look like?
Now that we're a franchise, which, by the way, you know, we're talking about adversities here. We've talked about incarceration. We've talked about loss of job, a flood. We became a franchise at the start of the pandemic, not knowing that there was going to be one. We just thought, you know, 2019 was our year to prepare. 2020 was our year to launch. And so we became a franchise at the start of the pandemic. And we now have locations in New Hampshire, Indiana, New York, and Pennsylvania. So there's 7 locations, soon to be 1 in California. We're excited about that. But we really are starting to look at this as more of our launch year, because the last 3 years have been rather abnormal.
Tough.
Yeah.
So what got you to go from the various locations? I think you said you had 5 now to franchise. Take us through that process, because I will tell you, a lot of people will come to me and go, should I buy a franchise?
Yeah.
Okay. What is a franchise? What does it look like? Talk to somebody today, just today, about franchising. So tell us how you make that jump. A lot of people I know will become entrepreneurs, but not a lot of them become entrepreneurs that are creating franchise systems. So, totally fascinating.
Yeah, the people that joined our team were a big part of my motivation, because we were blessed. We had these people that joined our team and eventually grew into being the managers at different locations that we opened. And we realized how talented they were. And so when you look at a talented person that may have told you in their initial interview, yeah, I have a dream of having my own gym someday. You do start to think, how can we do this together? Do we make them a partner? Is there just a profit sharing? You know, what do we do? And what several people were suggesting, you know, different entrepreneurs that would come to our location would be like, you guys should be a franchise, because I go to one location, I go to another location, the same things are happening and you're not there. It's a great experience. And so that's number one. You definitely have to establish yourself in multiple cities. You have to prove that your business model works and that it's consistent in multiple cities. So that is step one of course, even having the potential to become a franchise. However, my motives were, if we become a franchise, these guys can achieve their dream of business ownership. We don't have to lose them. We can grow together. And so after having that encouragement several times, there was one guy that even came through and said, I'll do a study. You know, I work for a venture capitalist company and I'll do a study on your business and show you how you would compare and all these kind of things. So we had the encouragement from several different directions. And when we accepted it, it felt like we were accepting a calling and it felt like we were taking the next logical step because we had these people on our team that I felt like we could help them achieve a dream as well.
So what have you found now today? We're fast forwarding here a little bit. You found today, I can tell it in your voice, real excitement about what you're doing.
Yeah.
What does that translate to you on a daily basis? What does that look like?
You know, with every level, it's been about impact, right? Mm-hmm. And you first start off and you're maybe helping somebody with their fitness and you're like, wow, I'm really proud of the way that I was able to change that person's life. And then maybe you establish one brick and mortar location. You're like, now I have a community and I've changed a lot of lives. So for me, what I'm most excited about, what I get to do is help people that want to be, let's call them fitnesspreneurs, right? You know,
right. Fitness, very good.
They have this dream of having their own gym. So one, I get to help make their dream come true and give them a successful business model where, like we said earlier in the show, they run the systems and the systems run the business. So now they don't have to worry about chasing that dream and falling flat on their face. They can have a proven business model that works. And what I get most excited about too is that we get to impact so many more communities than we would have ever impacted on our own. So I have this dream that we would have 1,000 locations and track with me on this. There's 5 to 8 coaches in each location. If we had 1,000,
oh wow,
that's an army of coaches waking up, 5 to 8,000 coaches every day waking up to change lives. I mean, 1,000 people through 1,000 locations, that's 1 million lives changed. So that's something I could have never done on my own. Franchising excites me. Yeah.
Is that the goal? Did you say it right there? That's the goal. It's changing lives one person at a time, and you hope to get up to 1 million people.
That's right. That's right. We want to impact 1 million lives. We feel if the average weight loss was just 10 pounds, it'd be 10 million pounds lost. We know that just a 5% reduction in body weight is enough to change someone's vitals and help them live longer. So that's people living longer, healthier, happier lives because we exist.
So how long is it going to take you to get to that level?
You know, I've studied some other franchise companies and they've been able to do it in less than 10 years. You know, when we want to quote some like Orange Theory or F45 or other companies have done it. So there is some exponential growth that like when you get to that 100 mark that only a single digit percentage of franchises get to, and then you start developing the infrastructure where you start to grow exponentially and, you know, maybe you're opening up 10 a month or that kind of thing.
So let's assume just for hypothetical purposes, I'm someone interested in franchising with you. What would you take me through? What would that look like?
Yeah, franchising. Now that's a whole new business to learn. I went into it at first thinking, oh, this is going to, I already know what I'm doing because I'm a gym owner and I've been selling gym memberships. Well, selling a franchise is a whole lot of a different deal. The FDD, the franchise disclosure document, that's a securities document. So somebody's going to hop on a call. We're going to have a get to know you call. Do they qualify after we share a bit with them about our business? You know, we talked a little bit about this offline. You and I were talking about traction and EOS systems, right?
Right.
Do they get it? Do they want it? Do they have the capacity?
Yeah, capacity.
Do they have the finances? You know, that's part of that capacity, right? And so once we establish that on a get to know you call, we would send them out the FDD. Now, the way that I was describing what a complex process this is, they wouldn't be able to buy a franchise for at least 14 days. They could be super excited about that call, but they're going to have to take at least 14 days after that FDD has been sent to them before they could even be qualified to buy. Quite often, the next step is a discovery day. We invite people to come on site. They're going to tour the business. They're going to see what it's like behind the scenes. They'll not only do a workout, but they'll be able to talk to the office manager. We're fortunate to have a few locations. We call it the Trail of the Phoenix because we have the Phoenix in our logo. And we'll take them to multiple sites where they can talk to franchise owners. And by then, you know, they leave pretty excited, right? Because they're like, okay, you know, this is a great fit for me. I got to talk to other people. Then we start walking them through the process, which ultimately, after they've looked at certain sections of that FDD and they understand the support that they're going to get, they understand what the operations look like, we move into them making a financial commitment to us, and then we make a commitment right back to them. We start searching for space with them. We start helping.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, letters of intent. Where once we got that space, we're going to go through a grand opening checklist. As it gets closer to their grand opening, they'll be brought on site so that they can be trained in a live situation. And then we're going to come on site when it's time for opening so that they're not just nervously shaking in their boots, wondering, what am I going to do when these people come through the door? Yes, they've been trained for it, but it's a whole different experience when your doors are opening. And so we want to be at their side when that happens too. And that's essentially the process in a nutshell.
What has been the challenge in taking people through this, other than it's the first time, right? You've never had your own franchising system before.
Yeah, the challenge in taking people through it is really the FDD. I always recommend to them that they get with an attorney, preferably somebody that's versed in the franchise law and FDDs. It wouldn't be their attorney's first time looking at them. They might say, well, I got a friend that's an attorney. Well, has he looked at the franchise stuff before? That's important. So the FDD can be a little bit of a process, because as much as they like us and we like them, we want to make sure to try to simplify all that legal language that's involved in a 60-page with multiple exhibits, franchise disclosure document.
So to this point anyway, what is your lesson as an entrepreneur that you've gained from putting together this franchise system?
I've gained a lot of lessons. Some of them were very personal, and they gave me a lot of self-development as well. However, I'll say that one is not to invest in things too early. I got to mentor with somebody for a year, and it was like paying to go to an expensive college. However, I chose to do that before we were really even open. So the lessons were not as impactful as they would have been if I spent a couple years already open and then, running a franchise, and I went and learned from them then. So you start thinking that you need everything right away. You start thinking, I'm going to pay this guy, several thousand dollars a month to run our social media advertising, that on top of what we pay him, we're going to pay several thousand. We're going to, get this mentor in our life that's a high-priced mentor. Start with your organic leads. What members know people that want to become franchisees or want to become franchisees themselves? There's a lot of organic referrals are the best. You can have super high conversion rates and very low marketing costs, right? So I was looking outward when I should have been looking inward, and I was spending money that I didn't need to spend initially.
Interesting. But at this point, very happy with what you're doing. I know this, and just knowing you and talking to you, that this has really been, it's been life-changing. Mm-hmm. It's been inspirational for you, giving you a lot of enthusiasm and direction and additional purpose to your life as you see it.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about unique ability, I know that you're a big mm-hmm. fan of that concept, and I am too. It's been a question that was posed to me several times over the last several months. And at first I was kind of miffed by it. I was like, well, what's my unique ability? And I started thinking about all these things that might be unique about my personality and whatnot. I'm a champion of the underdog. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. I help make people's dreams of fitness business ownership come true. That is a very unique ability. And there's been times where we have done it with minimal startup costs. I met a missionary in El Salvador that was kind of like my first virtual client before virtual was a thing, because I met him over there. He was staying over there and he was going to be there with his family for several years. So I started sending him weekly workouts. There was one group that one group went out there and I asked him to pack some fitness equipment in their suitcase so he could do the workouts I was sending them. He lost 50 pounds. He was sharing his journal with me. He shared his journal with me, not through something like my Fitness Pal. He shared it with me through scanned papers, right? But he was my first virtual client, and he became one of our franchisees. And he became one of our franchisees with some equipment from my garage, right? So when I think about unique ability, I said, we take people that have very little means, and we make their dreams come true, right?
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah. And God prepared us for it. You know, I mean, what did we do? We started from a FEMA trailer on an unemployment check with a high interest loan for a minimal amount of equipment, right? So I guess that's it's not something I should advertise that, you know, we're the franchise for you if you don't have any money. That's a bad business model. However, you know, we are one.
But you did it.
You know, yes.
Yeah, but you did it, you know. So you can go like, ladies and gentlemen, maybe you come from nothing. You know, not everybody's like me, but I think you can do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be a great sense of giving back. What do you do outside of your fitness business and your franchise business? And again, tell all our listeners what the name of your business is so it'll stick with them, please.
The name of the business is Journey 333. It was originally Journey Fitness, and it was an interesting process as well. You asked about becoming a franchise. So you have to establish you have a business model that works. That's an important part. You know, that's what people are going to buy. So you have to have this proven concept. But then you have trademarks you have to give. And so the trademark is what people are going to go put on their signage and put on their apparel. And, you know, they're buying this officially trademarked business. What we found out is that we couldn't trademark Journey Fitness. So we became, in this process of trademarking, we became Journey 333. And I'll tell you briefly how that happened. When somebody told me that I couldn't have Journey Fitness, it was like telling me I had to go rename my kid. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like, I'll be like, what do you mean we can't be Journey Fitness? So I was like, well, we're more than fitness. You know, we're coaching and nutrition. And I'm like, Cindy, you know, like maybe if we added the coaching and nutrition. And she's like, Journey Fitness, coaching and nutrition, that's a mouthful. And I'm like,
that is.
I'm like, okay, well, how can we symbolize the things that we do? I'm like, you know, what if we just called like Journey Trifecta, you know? And she's like, that sounds like a racing company. And I'm like, well, how about Journey Trinity? And she says, sounds a little religious. And I'm like, all right, yeah. And I'm like, well, how about like 3X? Like, well, 3X your journey. And she's like, a triple X club owned by an ex-con, like, I don't think that's a good idea. You know? So then I started thinking about all these things that we do in threes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, we help people mind, body, spirit, fitness, coaching, and nutrition. We help them look better, live better, feel better. And so I went to my attorney and I said, hey, I got a good feeling about this Journey 333 idea. Could we keep the name Journey and just kind of have these 333 to symbolize all the things that we're doing? And he does what begins the trademarking process. You do a URL search, right? You know, so you do a URL search and he's like, going to look that up. He says, well, the initial search looks good. I didn't even know that was how you begin. So once I knew that my attorney was Googling, I said, all right, I'm going to Google. So I typed 333. And this is what comes back to me. It says, you're seeing the number 333 because God wants to be a co-creator with you in the universe.
Are you serious?
I don't know anything about numerology or science.
Yeah.
I guess there's angel signs of 111, 333. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. So I have breakfast later that week with a Christian friend of mine. I'm like, hey, you know, I got this message back when I'm typing in Google the other day. What do you think about that? And he says, well, did you know that 333, that's God's phone number? And I said, stop messing with me, man. I said, if I knew God had a phone number, I'd call him a long time ago.
About 30 years ago.
I got some questions, you know, I would have called the prison and said, help, you know. He said, no, there's this spot in Jeremiah, and it's like 33:3 where they call on me and I'll answer. And so because that's the quote, you know, some people have shirts to say that's God's phone number, that chapter and verse. And I was like, oh, wow, that's good. So I reached back out to the attorney. I said, hey, I'm feeling really good about this. How's it working out? He says, it looks like it's going to work. Here's what I know. I think that you should get a number that ends in 333. And that is when the hairs on my arms stood up, back of my neck, you know, got a chill down my spine. I said, oh my God, since the day that we opened, our phone number has been 607-735-0333. That was our main number.
Oh, wow.
You know, you know. So we are Journey 333. That's the name of our franchise. And that is how we came from Journey Fitness to Journey 333. Because if you see a book out there on the internet by us, it's essentially our struggle and our adversity of opening up our business. You're going to see this name, Journey Fitness. However, we're called Journey 333 now because of that franchising process.
What a great story. Yes. What a great, great story. Okay. Give our folks, you've done that so many different things. Give our folks three pieces of advice. Anybody in business, what would be the best three pieces of advice you would give to someone based on your experiences?
You know, I can't be a franchisor without harping on systems. I think that it's just so important. You If there's something in your business where people are continuing to come to you for the answers, it is an indication that you're missing systems in your business. If you want a self-managing company, then you got to give people the systems, the processes, the procedures that allow them to be self-managing. At Journey, we have an extraordinary trainer checklist. Everybody gets hired. Every coach gets hired as an intern, and they go through this process of learning and passing a written test in the end. However, we ask them to continue to evaluate themselves according to a checklist, right? We don't have the Zap method of you only find out when you're doing it right by learning what you did wrong. You know, we have a checklist of systems. So definitely systems are super important. Get a mentor in your life. I got to give a shout out to a mutual friend of ours, Todd Durkin.
Yep.
I was working for that physical therapy company, and they invested in us and they took us to conferences. And it was 2011 that I saw Todd Durkin for the first time at a Perform Better conference.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, wow, this guy's amazing. And just a ball of fire, a motivational guy. However, there's certain energies that you connect with throughout your life, and you should pay attention to that. And he was he gave such an impression to me, and such a lasting impression, that I realized that when we were starting our business, I said, if there's somebody I want to reach out to see if he has a mentorship, it's going to be Todd Durkin. And so as we grew from 14 to 400 in our first year, I said to my wife that I wanted to do that. And she said, I think you should. And I became part of a group that was a group of only 10. It was called the P10 group. And for the next decade, as we went through growing from one location to five locations, to becoming a franchise, to becoming the author of a couple of books and presenting on a lot of stages, it was under his mentorship. And I would say that a lot of those things would not have happened. If our business was a crime scene, Todd would have his fingerprints all over it. We got a lot of coaching strategies and energy strategies and program design from Todd, you know, so shout out to him. So definitely, you know, have systems, and beyond having systems, have a mentor, because that is where a lot of those systems are going to come from. Somebody that's further down the road than you. You know, Sir Isaac Newton says, we see further because we stand on the shoulders of giants, right? You know, so that's what we all need in our life, our mentors to lift us up. And then as much as I'm telling you about systems and processes and procedures, you know, it really is about finding the who's, right? You do need to find who's. We've been blessed with tremendous people that have joined our team, and they started out in their first fitness job and are now franchisees. So they have to be able to work in their unique ability so that we can grow in our unique ability, which at the time that I started off in fitness, I had no idea that my unique ability was going to be to help people start their own fitness businesses. And now I have people working in theirs, which is to run their own fitness businesses. And they have people working in theirs, which is to coach the people on the floor, or whatever the case might be, or to manage the office. And so definitely finding the right who's is super important as well.
So I get it. A system, a mentor, the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And it only takes you your whole life to get it done.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
This is a great story. Thanks, Travis. Great insight, great information. How can people get a hold of you? How can people get a hold of information about Journey 333?
Absolutely. You know, they can follow me on Facebook is where I am primarily. However, I'm also on Instagram. So they can go there. If you go to www.journeyfitness333.com, you'll be able to see the multiple franchise locations are displayed on there, as well as a place to click to take you over to thejourneyfranchise.com, where you can learn all the Q&A that you might have about the fitness franchise itself. So I would recommend those couple of spaces.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. If you're in search of assistance, please go to davesider.com and schedule a consultation. If you would as well, please subscribe to the show, rate it, leave me a comment on your favorite podcast platform, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. On behalf of Travis Barnes, who I thank so very much, ladies and gentlemen, see you next time. Until then, be safe. This podcast is provided for educational purposes. It does not constitute legal advice and is not intended to establish an attorney-client relationship. The recommendations contained in this podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every individual or business. In determining the best course of action, business owners should consult with an attorney on their distinct circumstances.